Great interview. Okay, we're going to start now on tape two. And we were talking about your arrival in New York, and you saw your stepfather while you were still on the ship. You spotted him. Okay, and then you were brought to Ellis Island because your brother was wearing those sunglasses.
Yes.
Okay, now talk about everything you can remember about Ellis Island.
Well, Ellis Island, we waiting to, to get off. But then the boat, they took us away from there, and they brought us here. And over here, we just sat and sat and sat. There were no bed where to go to sleep. So they kept us here that day, the night, the next day, and then the next day. We didn't eat.
Well, you mean you weren't given any beds? You didn't go into a room and sleep?
No.
You just sat in the Great Hall?
No, we were on a bench. We uh-huh. slept on a bench.
Was that bench in that Great Hall downstairs?
Yes, whatever it is. I saw the bench
the
last time.
Room.
Yeah,
huge
yeah.
Room. Uh-huh.
I says, this is a bench where we slept, my brother and I. My brother came to over here too to see the where we slept. And they didn't feed us until the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole night. And the next day, they fed us pasta with the cabbage, you know. But that was like a piece of meat because we were hungry. You know what I mean?
And in other words, your mother and stepfather couldn't come here.
No.
Until you were released.
Uh-huh. No. And then the next morning, the my father and my mother came. My mother had a little baby at that time, and that's why she came the next day. And that's when I said to you that I didn't recognize my mother. I'm looking at her, I didn't know. Like, when she left us, I just got it out of my mind. Like, I didn't know her. You know, first they wanted to leave me there. Then they left me, and I didn't realize all this, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That she had to come to America with her husband and everything. I didn't recognize her. I look at her like I was still angry. Like I turned my eyes, like I didn't want to look at her. But my father, I hugged him and kissed him and everything. Uh-huh. Because he was the best. You know, he was a single man. He got together. And he was good with us. He sent money to my brother could buy a bike. He sent. He sent us package. It was some sweets and stuff like that. Now who would do a stepfather like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, then your mother was here when you and your brother were released from Ellis Island.
Yes. Yes.
And where did you go?
We went home.
And how did you go? How did you get there?
I don't remember. We take a train or whatever. I don't know how we got home. I don't remember.
And
I was like too confused.
Oh, yeah, sure. And you went to Brooklyn, you said?
Yes. Went to Brooklyn. The minute we got in the house, my father left. I says, where did he go? When he came back, I says, where did you go? He says, I ought to go and pay the people that gave me the money. You know, he borrowed money for us to come here. He says, the minute we came in, he had to go and pay the people money. I don't know who he owed money or anything like that.
Well, now talk about your mother. How did you get over your intense anger toward her, and how did things go after you were here for a while?
My mother, she may rest in peace. I took care of her if my father died. I took care of my father, I took care of my mother. She lived to be 94. And I worked from 7 to 7, I told you. I went to school. Then when I finished with school, you know, one of the girl that lived on the block was having a party. I says to her, you know, I saw a dress that I want to buy. I says, it's $2.98. I says, I want to go to a party. She says, I got no money to give you. I says, but, I got no clothes. I came from Italy, no clothes. You know what I mean? We came just with a little valise. I said, I want to go to the party. She says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 50 cents. Go to the market and buy material and make your own dress. So when was the, off on a Sunday, they were open, the peddlers or whatever you call it. I went to the market, I couldn't buy it. With 50 cents, I couldn't buy a big enough piece of material to make a dress. So what happened, I took two different colors, one yellow, one brown. So I made myself a dress. She helped me. To sew it. First of all, I was too busy, and second, she helped me, what's the truth? So I made a dress, yellow, with the pleats in here, box pleats, mm-hmm. brown. Mm-hmm. The pleats brown, and the back too. Brown little collar, and brown little cuffs. I was the best dressed in the party. She wouldn't give me. Then she had a little baby. It was 2 years old, 3 years old. She had the baby when she come here. And on the Saturday, that didn't work. I don't know, it was Sunday or Saturday. We used to take a walk on the avenue. This is in Brooklyn, Pickin Avenue. She would buy the kid Charlie Rooster or ice cream or something, and she wouldn't buy me nothing, and I had to bring the envelope close to my mother.
The envelope from work, you had to
from work. She used to give me 10 cents a day to go to work.
And what were you doing for work?
Well, I started to work in a brass, cleaning them or putting them in boxes, whatever I was doing. So at lunchtime, one day, I says, let me see, I'll buy you something to drink. I should take lunch from the house. So I saw a fruit store, and I bought I thought it was lettuce. I figured, it was dry, I eat some lettuce and the rest I bring it home. Instead of lettuce, it was cabbage. I didn't know the difference.
So
I couldn't go to the movies. The girls that I used to work with, sometimes we didn't have off work, we got off. They went to the movies. I had to go home. I had no money to go to movies, even if it was 10 cents the movie. My mother, forget about it. And I took care of her. I took care of her. At the end, she lost control. You know what I mean, control. I had to clean her and everything. And my daughter used to come and pick me up at 5 o'clock from her house. And my brother lived upstairs with his wife. She wouldn't do nothing. She says, so that's your mother, not my mother. And she came in and she went like this, my daughter, the smell. She says, I'll wait on the porch for you. And when she took me home, with a car, she says, if you think I'm going to do to you what you do for grandma, she says, you're going to home. She says to me.
Well, tell me now your first impressions. When you came to this country and you finally got off Ellis Island, can you think of some of the things that stood out in your mind that you'd never seen before, that were new to you, that struck you in the first days and weeks?
The only thing is, I was kept strict. My father wouldn't let me go out. He says, because you must, he had a lot of people that knew him over here, like a paisana, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And he said, he figures, if I let you go out, people think that I don't care for you because I'm your stepfather. And he was very strict. He wouldn't let me go out. I got friendly with the Gumara means my maid of honor. When I got married, she was my maid of honor. I was friends with her before. her and her sister used to come to call for me on a Saturday or Sunday. Come on, let her come with us to the park. My mother says, no, she's got to press the clothes. No, she's got to wash the curtains. She should keep me like a servant. My mother was heavy, big. And in the summer, we used to eat whatever. They used to go down, my father and mother downstairs for fresh air. I had to wash the dishes, clean up the floor, and to, you know, had to take care of the baby. Saturday, Sunday, they used to go to New York to buy butter and eggs. They had a lot of friends in New York. And then when she came, they lived in New York. And then they moved to Brooklyn. So they had friends in New York. And they used to go every Sunday to buy stuff, like shopping in New York. And I had a cook. She used to tell me what. But I says, I don't know how to do this. He says, you ask her at Sagrasied. Sagrasied was the next door neighbor, how to do it. I had to cook for them and watch the kid on Sunday. And I couldn't go here and I couldn't go there. Now, you think that was a good thing?
Mm-mm. No. So in other words, you didn't have any kind of fun?
I got married. I was, 17, not even 18 when I got married. Uh-huh. Because I wanted to get away from home.
Right. How did you meet your husband?
Oh, my brother had a girlfriend. And they used to go to Coney Island. You know what Coney Island is, yeah? And one day, I says, let me go to Coney Island too. They said, okay, but you go with your brother. Okay. So my brother had the girlfriend, and we went to Coney Island. And there were two other boys that my brother knew that they came from Italy, and they made friends. They used to go out with the girls. So in Coney Island, we went to a place that had a round, big round table, and there was a stage, and they had some kind of a show. And you could buy something to eat or to drink. So we sat there. So my husband came and sat with us on a table. So, and they got chummy, the boys, friends, where you come from, where this and that. My husband came from New York. So, and that was like that. So a month passed. We went again. But they talked. We're going to be here a certain day. And we all went there. But he didn't have no girlfriend. His girlfriend was in another town. I don't know where. And his girlfriend had the mother but no father. You know. He was engaged with her. So he broke his engagement. He told my brother, I like your sister. He says, good. He came over the house to meet another of the house, to the house. He waited downstairs for my brother the first time. The second time, my brother, when he says he liked my sister, my brother says, well, come up, meet my sister. So that went on for a while. And then he came up and he says, I like your daughter, and I like to take her out if she's. But meanwhile, I was hiding. I liked him too. He reminded me of my old boyfriend from Sicily.
What was it about him that reminded you?
His hair. He had beautiful wavy hair, and I liked him. I couldn't go no place. I couldn't go out with him. A lot of people were going. A lot of girls were going to dance in New York, Roseland or stuff like that. Everybody now, after I was married, you never went to Roseland. I never went any place. But there was a boy on the block around the corner that he had eyes for me too, but I couldn't talk to him. Yeah, they kept me like I was a prisoner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and then my father says we used to come meet my brother and go out. You know what I mean? Not with me, with my brother. Then he says to my father, he says, I like your daughter, with your permission, if she likes me. I says, I like him. I didn't say in front of him, but I told my father, I like him, you know. He was a nice looking guy. So, and we got engaged. But the girlfriend that he had before, they took him to court because he was engaged to her. I didn't get engaged then, but later on. And the judge said, so what do you want? He changed his mind. Is it better if he married and then he leave her? But she had to keep the ring. So I had to wait for him to make enough money to buy me a ring.
So meanwhile, you continued to work?
Yeah.
You were still working in the same place with the bride?
No. Then I went to work as a model.
Oh,
in the shop.
Tell me about that. How did that happen?
Well, one of the lady, a friend of my mother, said they need somebody in the shop. She told me, would you want to come? They're making dresses. I said, yeah. But I could sew, but I didn't sew the electric machine, you know what I mean?
Oh, what kind of machine was it before the
electric? In the shop, they have electric machine.
No, but what did you have? By hand you were doing?
No, with the pedal.
Oh, like a treadle.
Yeah, I still have a machine that you push with a pedal, but very slow. So I couldn't sew with the machine. But they taught me how to use the snaps. You know they used to make snaps here then? This I'm talking about 70 years ago.
Snaps for a skirt or something, you mean?
Yeah, they used to sew buttons on the dresses or stuff like that. So I learned the sewing machine. But one day, after I worked there a while, the boss called me. I said, oh my God, he's going to lay me off. Because things were bad at that time. My father got hurt. He was working with a street cleaner, you know, mm-hmm. on a horse. They used to put the dirt on a horse.
Oh.
At that time, they didn't have trucks. It was years ago. Mm-hmm. So he was on top of there that the guy from on the sidewalk gives the stuff, so he throws on top of the horse. The horse got scared and stopped running. And there was a tree, and he fell off the horse. And he was, at that time, there was no compensation or something, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And we had to work in order to, my mother was sewing coats. And when I came home, I had to take off the things, the basting or whatever you would call it. So what was I?
You were talking about when you went in and the boss called you down when you were...
Oh, the boss called me down. I said, I got so scared he's going to lay me off. He says, you got high heels? He says to me, I says, no. He says, all right. I says, why? He says, well, I want you to stand on the thing and try a size 7 dress. I says, fine, okay. But I didn't have no high heels. So anyway, they tried me. They sew already the dress. I had to try it on. The dress fits nice. And on me, they pulled it here and they pulled it there. They fixed the dress for me. Then every time they made size 7, they measure me, you know what I mean, everything. Then every month they had the forelady took me with her to New York. My father wouldn't let me go with the car. She bought me shoes, high heel shoes.
Oh.
And I had to try in these dresses. The people came from out of town to buy these here things or to see.
So did they come while you had the dress on to look at
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I would stand on the platform uh-huh. with high heels and wear these different style of dresses. And I used to get $40 on a Saturday.
Wow.
And the work, and I was only getting $20, $18. You know what I mean? Then I got married, became pregnant, I couldn't do that no more. So that money, I saved it. I didn't give it to my mother or for my wedding, because then a year later we got married. And that was the story.
Wow. Now, what was your husband's name?
Louis.
Louis?
Louis.
So when you said you were in Pitkin Avenue, is that Brownsville? Is that
the
section of Brooklyn? Uh-huh.
Oh, where you come from?
Well, my stepfather came from Brownsville. That's why I remembered that name of that
Pitkin
street.
Pitkin Avenue,
Right. Yeah. No, I grew up in New Jersey, so. But, okay, so when you got married, where did you live?
Oh, I got my own place.
Also in Brooklyn?
Yes. Rented 3 rooms as an apartment house.
Uh-huh.
And I lived there, and after 3 years, I got a baby. And my husband worked from 10 to 10 a night. Then I waited for him.
And what was he doing?
He was a shoemaker.
Oh.
Shoemaker, fixing shoes.
Uh-huh.
And he used to work from 10 to 10 a night.
Now, he came from Italy.
No, my husband was born here.
Oh.
But then when he was 12 years old, they took him to Italy.
Oh.
And they were very poor. He used to try to sell in church, try to sell chairs where people could sit down for 2 cents each.
Oh.
2 cents each. That was his job, you know, and he used to attend the church. But after when he was 18 years old, he says, I don't want to stay here. I'm American born. I want to go to America. He could have come because he was American born, but he didn't have no money. But he had a cousin, a nun, a Palermo. And he wrote to her if he could, she could help him for the
passage
to come here.
Uh-huh.
Money. And she says, yes. And so she gave him the money. She says, I'm not giving you the money, but I send them the money wherever, you know, you gotta. So he came to America. He was sending her money until we were married.
Wow.
Package, money, because I was working for 3 years and he was working.
Mm-hmm.
Sending money to her and pay her back,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that was that. He had a stepmother. His father died in the war when they bombed Naples, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His father was here. His mother died here. And then he married somebody else. And the lady that he married, she was always sick. And it was Italian too. And that she couldn't stay here, and that's why they went back to Italy when he was 12 years old. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And he used to send package. I used to go around buying stuff for him to send to his stepmother because his stepmother was good to him, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Then the guy came from Italy, from the town, came to visit us. Because he came from the same town where my husband was. He says, you send package to your stepmother. She's selling the stuff around. She doesn't need it. So my husband stopped sending her packages. It's a long.
How about the depression? These are the depression years you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can you say anything about the depression? How it affected you, your family, other people?
No, us. No, didn't affect because we had ground, you know. After years we were here, my stepfather, cousin came from Italy. He had been here. He went to Italy, back. And then come back. And he says, while you're there, see if you could put the property for sale.
Oh.
So, and whatever happened, that I don't know. They sold some of the property and, you know, the houses and everything. So we had money.
I see.
And when I got married, the government sent me money too. We bought furniture. You know, because I got married 18.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're 18, it stops, but they send you I wrote to them that I was getting married and everything, and they sent me money.
Now, why was that? Because of your father?
Because my father was dead in the war.
Uh-huh. I see.
See, I was getting money until 21.
Oh.
So being I got married before 18, they sent me 3 years. And my brother, they gave him money till he was 18 and no more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I'm here, thank God.
So what did your brother do, just as an aside? What did he do when he came here?
When he came here, he went to work on the pocketbooks.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't speak English. Then somebody says, but you know how to be a carpenter, stuff like that. Says, there's a place there you could go tell him I send you to my father. My father was fine out where he could. So he went to work on the cabinets. You know, and he made good money.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't understand nothing. As far as I read in English. Italian, he understood.
No.
So, but he made good money. After years, my husband went in business as a shoemaker, you know. He had a store as a shoemaker.
Oh, uh-huh.
Then he made application to work for the city. And he got called. He went to the Y to learn whatever he had to learn. And then he got a job with the city, you know, a transportation. With TA, mm-hmm. TAs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he told my brother, he'd come every night to study. Because my brother didn't know how to talk English or do this or do that. So he stopped playing the cabinet and he worked as a...
Transportation?
A transportation.
Uh-huh. Would that be on the subways?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And my brother, he'll be 90 this coming year, uh-huh. December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's still... Okay.
Good.
We must have come from a good crack.
Good genes, huh?
Good genes.
Well, how about the build-up to World War II? Do you remember that happening in this country? Do you remember anything about the war from your experience?
Yes, my husband didn't go to war because he had the children. He had two children. They didn't take them. Besides, was essential what he was doing, transportation.
Oh, uh-huh.
He didn't go to war, my husband.
Uh-huh.
But my son, they were in college. They didn't call them because while you're in college, they didn't call them. But then they changed. And my youngest son, they called to go.
You're talking about later now,
yeah,
after World
later,
War II.
When I, yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So he went. He was starting college, my youngest son. But when they called him, he went for 3 months, and then they sent him back.
Oh.
For a reason I don't know. They didn't go. So, but when he did come back, that they didn't send him after 3 months, he didn't go back to college. He says, oh, I'll take a year off, I'll go. I'll take a year off, I'll go, but he never went.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about being Italian and being American, how do you think about that for yourself?
Well, I'm proud to be Italian.
Uh-huh.
I did what everybody does. I had to go to work here. I used to, the children went to school. I had the little boy. I would go to kindergarten. I bring him to kindergarten, and then at 3 o'clock, my daughter comes out because she's 5 years older than him. I pick him up, bring him home, and then I work until 5 o'clock. I worked.
Oh, what did you do then?
I worked on skirts in the neighborhood, on a sewing machine. But then I knew how to ride the sewing machine.
You mean in your home you did the work?
No. It was 2 blocks away.
Oh.
They had a store. They were making skirts. I was working on skirts.
Uh-huh. So you worked while you had still young children?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not when I had the two boys and my daughter. I worked more when I had the little boy. I had to go to wait until the kindergarten. Then I used to bring him to school in the afternoon. And then 1 o'clock I would go to work. At 3 o'clock my daughter comes out of school and brings him home. And wait, I say, you stay home. Mm-hmm. Until I came home. I used to work from 1 to 5, yeah. Part-time, you know.
When did you move out of Brooklyn? And why did you move out of Brooklyn?
We lived in Brooklyn in 3 rooms. And I had 3 kids. I couldn't get rooms because nobody wanted children at that time. Now I don't know what they were. They didn't want no children. So no matter where we went looking for rooms, you couldn't lie. I have 3 children.
They'd find out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get rooms. Nobody wanted to rent rooms for children. So we tried to buy a house with my father and us, because my father and mother, they were paying rent to an apartment house. When we look for a house, just, well, I don't want to go downstairs. Your children are going to trap on top of my mother. I says, okay, so you take upstairs. She says, well, what do I need 6 rooms for? She was so. So that went up. We didn't have money, and that time the houses weren't a lot of money. $5,000 you could have gotten a house. We didn't have five cents.
You're talking, what years are you talking about? After the war, or?
Well, I don't know when was the war.
Well, it was over in 45. So, when did you get married? Do you remember what year you got
36.
Married? 36. Oh, okay. So, oh, but you already had three
I had
children.
Big children then.
Yeah.
I had big children.
So, in the 40s,
yeah.
I guess.
Uh-huh. So, we sort of look around. I had a baby, the little boy, and we looked around, and one of my gumbara was gumara. Gumara is the ones that baptize your children. We call it gumara. So they had bought a house 5 years, as it says, and they says, we used to visit with one another, and she says, you know, there's a house for sale. I says, well, we're going to see. I didn't go see, but my husband went to see. So, and he says, you know, I can't get into the house. They won't let me in because the house was rented and the people in the room. So, no, the lady that was selling the house didn't live there. And she says to him, they won't let you in because I send a lot of people, they won't let you in. But try to go and say that you're a painter. They want the place painted. And look at the rooms, you know. Mm-hmm. So my husband went there. He says, you know, I'm a painter. The lady sent me to see what you need. So they let him in. So he comes home and he says, it's got five nice rooms. He says, it's a house. And we're going to try to buy it. I says, okay. I didn't even go and see it. So my husband went back to the lady, says, yeah, I'll give you a deposit. He gave her a $50 deposit. So, and the following Sunday we went, and the lady met me and my kids. You know, we all went. So we had not much money. I had to take the money from school. The kids in school had bank books. I had to take money from this big kid, the other kid, to try to. But the lady gave us a second mortgage. We got a mortgage. Mm-hmm. She says, I'll give you the second mortgage. You got children, she says. She was very nice. So what happened? So we bought a house.
Uh-huh. So how did you like being in Queens? How did it compare to Brooklyn?
I used to go back to Brooklyn all the time because over there I had friends. Take the train with a little kid to go to Brooklyn all the time for a while. But then after a while, you know, we let it go. I felt strange, but we had a house. We couldn't fix or anything, you know what I mean? And we used to pay the mortgage. That's when, you know, I had to go to work, like I said. To try the money that I was making, we had to pay the lady and we had to pay for the. And we bought the house for $15,000.
So did you feel like you were moving up in the world? I mean, did
I had a little baby. I had to put, at least I had a way to put the, I have a driveway. I used to put the carriage and the baby there from the kitchen. I used to see, over there in Brooklyn, I lived upstairs. I used to pay for the carriage, $3. A week? No, a month, I think, to keep the carriage in the store. And it was comfortable, you know, but for a while I went back and forth to Brooklyn because I had all my friends there. I knew everybody there on the block.
So, you
I'm there since 52.
Oh, you still, that's where you are now, where you were, where you bought the house.
1952, we moved in November. 53 years. I'm still there. It's a nice neighbor. A lot of people sold and people moved in, but the people don't bother you.
And what section of Queens is it?
Ozone Park.
So when you look back on your life, what would you say were the high points? In other words, what
a high point, whether it was good or that was bad?
Good.
The high point was when my children, you know, graduated college. The second boy graduated Madison Square Garden. I dressed over the lace dress. I felt like I was a queen. And they, and the kids make me feel like I swear, like I'm a queen. Like they educated kids, and they have master degrees and all that sort of thing. Even my daughter was a teacher too. She don't teach, but she's
She could teach.
The other one is a, whatever she is, in the hospital, you know, big, big thing. She teaches the other nurses, whatever you call. I know the word, but I can't think about that. Administrator?
Administrator.
Is that it? Is that the
one? Administrator, supervisor, whatever.
My daughter's a teacher. My two granddaughters, one of the granddaughters works on Fifth Avenue where they make that, makes money. My daughter's daughter, the other one is a nurse. You know, they're all good kids.
Do you think coming to this country as 13 or so years old, do you think you, do you think that made a difference in you as a person? Let's say, compared with if you had stayed, do you think coming here and having to cope with a whole new culture, a whole new place, people, do you think that made a difference in, like, your personality and the way you think about things, the way you approach things? Do you think it did?
Well, you know, it works gradually, like you, you know, as far as you are what you are, you know what I mean? But in my neighborhood, there's a lady across the street. She comes across. She says, "I got to talk to you." I says, "Why?" She says, "Every time you come out of the house, you look like you come out of the starching machine," she tells me. I like dresses. I like, you know, to shop. And especially now that, you know, I'm not saying I'm rich, but I could afford more, buy what I like, you know what I mean? Even if I don't need it. You know, sometimes when you go to a store, you look for something, you can't find it. But when you see it, that you like it, you buy it, put it in a closet, like a closet full of clothes.
So you think that would have been the same, even no matter where you were?
Sure. I was fanatic too when I was in Italy as a kid. I told you, I would just go to church with a beige thing, and my hair fixed up and everything. No, I don't even, I still fix my hair, but I'm not that fussy when I was in Italy. If I went to church, I had to be just so, you know what I mean? I had a lot of kids, friends that I grew up together, but when we went to Italy, they looked terrible. Oh. A couple of them moved out. They got married, they went to a different town, but whatever I found there, I says, they look so old. But then I says to myself, but I don't look at myself how I look. They look old. But to me, they look see, in Sicily, it's very warm country, right. Hot country. And they all look dried up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's not like, maybe the young girls, maybe they put a little cream in their face, but the older people, they... My cousin, she got a piece of bread, you know, the round bread, under the shirt, she takes a piece and eat. You all sweating, what the heck you put? You know what I mean? That the sister, don't you change that dress? I says, that smells. She says, no, last week I changed it. Me? Over here, it's different. You got water, you got the you know, over there wasn't much water. Mm-hmm. She saved the water to wash the clothes, or she saved the water to throw it in the toilet, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's different kind of, even though a lot of new over there, you know what I mean? But the older people, they still like the way they were.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you must have seen a lot of changes in your life. I mean, you probably went, like, even the radio must have been something new.
When I was keeping company with my husband, my father says, oh, at least I buy a radio so they could listen to the radio. The guy would come, where's he going to do listen to the radio? One day I told her, why don't, you know, you cook on a Sunday. Why don't you let him stay here and eat? Let him come for dinner, because he used to come Sunday later, afternoon, my husband, for a half hour now, and then he went, because we couldn't go out. We couldn't talk in front of them, you know what I mean? He says, no. I don't want nobody home, she used to say. The old people, she didn't know how to write and read, my mother. She didn't know any better, I guess. My father, he knew. He went to school, he knew it. Mm-hmm. When my father came to America, we used to write the letters, and we taught my mother to do her signature. Oh, mm-hmm. We let her practice, at least to sign your fingers. She didn't know how to write and read. She didn't know any. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying she was dumb. She was no dumb. She knew the $5, what it was, or the money. But like she was very stern and now why? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was.
Maybe it's the way she was raised, and she just.
Could be.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I was raised that she was stern.
That's true.
I'm not stern.
Right. Well, but you're more aware, and you're more, you know, educated, more aware, more. Yeah.
Probably.
But in this Italian community in Brooklyn where you came to, were there organizations, were there groups? What
my
kind
boys
of
belong to the boys' club. They and they still have, I still belong. The kids are all gone, I still belong to the boys' club.
But what about like ethnic, like Italian groups? Were there Italian groups?
Yeah,
the Sons of Italy? Is that what you mean?
There's a son in Italy, but our group, but I don't belong no more. My husband and I used to belong.
But I was thinking when you first came, were there.
No, we first came, we didn't have nowhere.
No.
We moved to Hozon Park. We didn't know anything. Just used to go to church, talk to the priest. See, the church is near us, and the priest used to come back and forth. In fact, my husband was very sick. He died with lung cancer, you know. And the priest used to come. I was supposed to wait in the front yard. There was the flowers and everything. The priest with the book used to walk back and forth. He used to talk to my husband. And when he was sick, he used to come and visit my husband in the hospital. Even in the house, he came a couple of times. Even when he died, he came to the grave, the priest. And like me, I've got to church every Sunday. My daughter comes to my house. We have breakfast and we go to church mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. So what are you looking forward to now? What do you look forward to?
Well, I have a friend that, you know, for about 16, 17 years, mm-hmm. I see him twice a week. But we don't do nothing. Maybe we'll go to McDonald's. You know what I mean? Or we don't go like, if I go to a cruise, I go with my daughter and a husband, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't. But it's company.
Yes.
At least somebody comes, says hello. He has a car. We go to McDonald's. We go to Burger King. Sometimes, like for his 80th birthday, I try, you know, treat him.
Oh.
We went to a good restaurant. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And when it was my birthday, he paid for my. Uh-huh. But it's just like a friend.
Uh-huh.
So and. He comes, if there's anything to do around the house that I need some help, he helped me. But now he's no feel so good, you know. But he's a nice guy, mm-hmm. you know, to for company. He says to me, if you need something, I'll take you, because he's got the car and everything.
Great.
But now he's older, and he's not feeling so good. But see, he was never sick in his life. Since he was 80, all the kids gave me a big birthday. My son, this one, he made my, see, when I was modeling, I have nice pictures of myself with it, because I says, gee, at least I'll take a picture of this thing. And he made it as big as the store picture.
Oh,
he enlarged.
That nice. Uh-huh.
And when they gave me a party, they put that picture there. Now look at me, I don't look like that. And one half on the other side. People came in, you know, it was a big thing they're very, very,
yeah.
I can't say much about it. And they gave me a big, big picture. He says, my friend, since his 80s, everything is happening to me. He's got to take that pill. I don't know what kind of pill he's taking for the blood. Uh-huh. He had an eye operation, a cataract. It didn't come out too good. And he's still putting, 2 years, he's still putting drops in his eye.
But you, on the other hand, you seem very healthy.
No, I don't take no pills. I don't take no Medicaid. See, I belong to senior citizen. I don't go. They're too old for me. You know, I don't go because who's on crutches, who's, you know, like, it's not for me. And the lady says to me, you got to register every year, you know, so to belong. So I registered, what kind of medication? I says, I don't take no medication. They can't believe I don't take no medication or nothing.
Were you aware when the trade towers were hit? When the 9/11, when the trade,
yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
Oh my God! I thought it was terrible when I heard. I says, oh my God! You know, my God! All those people. I couldn't get over it. Right away, I went to the senior citizen to see if they knew. They had a big TV there. And everybody was so terrible. Like we were hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wasn't that terrible?
Terrible.
And ever since that happened, everything's going wrong, the war and everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not working.
That's true. Well, we're getting near the end of the tape. Is there something, anything that you can think of that maybe we didn't cover that you want to talk about? Anything else that you would like to say?
For instance, what subject?
I just wonder, just about your starting your life one place and coming here and spending really the rest of your life in this country. Anything else that you can think of that has to do with that?
The only thing that I was very shocked when my husband died, because he was the only guy that died in my family. My mother was still living, my father was still living. And After he died, I felt like my heart was pumping like that. Mm. Now with people that their husband died, they don't nothing. Me, I took it so bad. Mm. I used to see him after he was dead, walk in the driveway. I had to open the window to see if it was him. I took it very, very bad. Mm-hmm. And I had to go through the church. I had to go for counseling. I wouldn't call it counseling, but what we used to meet a lot of
grief,
people.
Like grief counseling. Uh-huh.
So when I see all the people who lost their daughter 15, who lost, mm-hmm. I says they're worse off than I am. Mm-hmm. But it helped a little bit.
Good.
Okay. It helped, you know. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We had to pay some money, you know what I mean? But I try to go someplace where they really, you have a better, but they don't charge you more money. I didn't have money. See, my husband died. He worked for the city. And when he retired because he couldn't work with the boys no more. They come, they're young people. They don't know how to do nothing. I have to do the work. They're getting paid. I'm getting aggravated. He had put in his time, he retired. See, and when he retired, he took all the pension himself. He says, I'm still young. I could get another job. Mm-hmm. You know, he asked me, I said, I don't know nothing about that.
Right.
My father took the pension by himself. He worked with the street cleaner. Mm-hmm. But he lived to be 89. Mm-hmm. And my brother took his pension and he got it himself. But he's going to be 90. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I didn't know any different. So he took all his pension. When he died, I had nothing. Mm-hmm. I was young. I was, 55. I couldn't get no widow's pension until I was 62. And I had to go to work to. Really not work, but it was in the office in the church that you.
Uh-huh.
And my children were good to me too.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And, but I'm here.
You're wonderful. And I think we've covered everything, and I want to thank
more
you.
Than that.
You're
wonderful.
Was,
no,
this
when they told me that you got a, I says, no, I'm not going to talk to nobody. I says, what am I going to do? But you're such
you
a
have.
Nice person,
oh,
such
thanks.
A disposition. And I like, it's nice to talk to you.
It's nice to listen to you. Well, I want to thank you.
Did you get bored?
Not a bit.
No kidding.
Not a bit. I've been speaking with Josephine Petty, who came here in 1931 from Italy. And this is Janet Levine on June the 14th, 2003. At Ellis Island, and I'm signing off of tape 2.